On this episode of the Other Bundesliga podcast, we look back on the year that was 2023 in Austrian football as we pick our best players and best moments from the last 12 months. Hello and a very warm welcome to our end of year review pod. My name is Tom Midler and here with me to look back over the Austrian football calendar is Lee Wingate. Hopefully we'll hear from Simon Clark a little later on in the podcast as well. Before we kick off for this one, I'd like to give a quick shout out to everybody who generously bought us beers on buymeacoffee.com/other Bundesliga recently. That's Philip, Dan and Archie, Marc-Andre, Connor, Adam and Tim. And everybody who bought us beers anonymously as well, thanks a lot to you all. We are very grateful for the beers, some of which we've enjoyed over the festive period already. If you want to chip in there and support what we do and just keep us happy, then you can do that at buymeacoffee.com/other Bundesliga. Lee, down to the year in review 2023. Happy New Year, mate. How are you doing?
Thanks very much. Happy New Year to you too. I'm doing very well. I was thinking there when you said a year in review, this is the sixth calendar year that we'll be looking back on covering Austrian football. We're going to get to the point soon where we can't say, oh, that was before our time, because we've been doing it for so long now.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It's so cool, really, to think about it like that. It's become such a big part of my life and the things I do. I know you do a lot of work with The Sweeper as well. The sister podcast, The Sweeper, takes up a huge amount of your life, but that's sort of all come from this too, hasn't it? So it's pretty cool looking back on it like that. And yeah, what's this, 5.5 years now?
Yeah. Are the Bundesliga the starting point of it all?
Exactly, yes. Talking about starting points, I wanted to ask you actually to go back to the start of 2023. What's your first footballing memory from the year? It doesn't have to be the very first thing that happened or anything like that. Just what's the first thing that you can remember about the footballing year 2023?
I remember thinking, could we have a different cup winner this year? That was my first thought, because Salzburg obviously got knocked out way sooner than they usually would. I think it was at the quarterfinal stage, which was right at the start of the year, wasn't it? So I think that was probably the first thing that springs to mind for me.
Yeah, both of my first memories of 2023 in Austrian football also come from the Cup, which makes sense, I suppose, because they have that Cup round right before the Bundesliga gets back underway after the long winter break. But I remember being in a pub. I'm not sure if you were there. I was there with Tom, who's got a season ticket at Rapid, and we were watching VRC against Rapid, which I think was the very first game back in 2023. And it went to extra time and Rapid ended up coming through, I think, 3-1 in extra time. So that was a good start. And then either, was it the same night or a different night? I'm not sure if that night just escalated. And then we went to a different pub and we were sort of underground in this bar. And that's when I got my mobile phone out, which is very unsociable. And we were watching on the tiny screen as Salzburg and Sturm then went to extra time and penalties. And we saw the fateful shootout for Salzburg in that little pub on my phone, and it was really funny. I think I was there with Simon at that point, and we were just like, oh my god, there's going to be a new cup winner. So that was a pretty crazy start, a pretty nice start to 2023. What was your more recently your final footballing experience from this year?
Oof. What was the last game I went to? I'm having to think back. I think the last game I went to was one in France, actually. I went to a French Cup tie for the Sweeper, but I don't think I've been to a Bundesliga game since then. If we're talking Austrian football, I think the last game I went to was the one with you to Linz, to the Blau-Weiß Linz versus LASK game, and that was one hell of an atmosphere from quite a little stadium. That was probably one of my favourite footballing memories of the year.
Yeah, that was a great last game to go to. I have a feeling that game will come back up later. It will rear its head again in this podcast as we look back on the year. My last game was Union Berlin against Real Madrid in the Champions League, which is a pretty nice way to finish off. That was quite cool. I can't even remember the last game I went to in Austria, even. But yeah, the last game I went to full stop was my third group stage game in Berlin, which was pretty cool. But they got knocked out, so I won't be going back in the new year. That book ends the year quite nicely anyway. Our first memories of 2023 in football, our last ones as well from as recently as December. But let's dive into our Twitter polls, shall we, and have a chat about the best players and the best moments of the year just gone. I'll get out the trenners, the music dividers, I'll get those ready, and then we can just dive in and get this thing going. All right then, first up for our year in review, let's have a look at the best goalkeepers of 2023. Now, for anyone who saw these Twitter polls, we got a pretty decent amount of votes on there. Obviously, it was a bit of a mix of four players. There are some players who were perhaps unlucky not to make the lists. So I thought we'd start with a list of people who didn't quite make the shortlist, as it were. And those who were mentioned the most on social media were Nicky Hiddle, the Rapid keeper, and Dejan Stojanovic, the Altach goalkeeper. Were they unlucky, perhaps, not to make the list? I've got my reasons for it, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you were the one that put forward the four names for the final shortlist, so I'm going to put any blame for any dissatisfaction among supporters squarely on your shoulders. All of those ones on there are probably the top four, to be honest. Maybe I would say that Fröstl and Hedl have both had equally good seasons, just for Vienna Capital Club, you know. Non-biased there. but I would say I would have probably said Alexander Schlager. And I don't know if it's the obvious choice because he's also recently established himself as the Austria goalkeeper. We see more of him. He's a bigger name. We've known him while he was at LASK as well. But yeah, I mean, there are some great shouts. Kjell Scherpen has been really good for Sturm Graz as well. So I think you could make a case for either of those being the best one. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it was difficult to pick the lists of four. I have to say, obviously, at some point, you've just got to do it. And I tried not to double up on clubs and things too. Stojanovic at Altach had been very good, but only really sort of since the summer. So this is the whole 2023 as well. You have to take away some recency bias and not look at the season, but look at the whole year of 2023. And I think Nicky Hedl, who got obviously a lot of Rapid fans a bit irate that he wasn't in the list, I don't think he had his best year particularly. I don't think... I think he definitely would have been in a list for 2022. And he's still a very, very good up-and-coming young goalkeeper. Definitely a great goalkeeper to have in your squad. But I don't think he did anything sort of outstanding necessarily this year. It was just another year of development. And if you look at the stats at Rapid this season, they haven't been particularly special in terms of how many attacks they've conceded and how many goals have actually gone in from those. Hedl's not really helped his team any more than you'd expect a good goalkeeper to do. Whereas Fröstl, who was very close, perhaps for me the last name on the shortlist, he had that long run of about 7 or 8 games where it was like no goals conceded, and then in 9 or 10 games, just one conceded or something. So I think there was that sort of specific standout moment. Kjell Scherpen, who you mentioned, started the season unbelievably. I think he set a record at the beginning as a new signing in Austria for the longest time it took until he conceded his first goal. The list was this: Tobias Laval of LASK with 18%, Scherpen and Fröstl got 25% of the votes, and Alex Schlager got 33%. For me, he was the hands-down winner this season. Brilliant for years at LASK, then moved to Salzburg. It was a big move. It was a big risk. He wasn't guaranteed the number one spot. He backed himself to conquer that number one role, and he's done it. And it's also cemented his place with the Austrian national team. And in a difficult season for Salzburg, he's been arguably their most consistent performer and really good for Austria too. Like, what more can you ask for, I think? I think he was one of the clearest winners for me in the categories that we had this time.
Yeah, given Salzburg's unpopularity among fans of other Austrian football clubs, I'm surprised that he got the vote, because I can't imagine a lot of maybe Rapid or Austria fans or even Sturm fans voting for the Salzburg goalkeeper. So I suppose that shows you just how good he's been, really.
I think that's a very, very fair point. Interesting that Okonkwo, who was only there, obviously, for the first half of the year, the keeper who won the cup for a non-Salzburg team, interesting that he didn't even make the list. But I thought Scherpen perhaps looked a little bit more solid for most of his Einsätze, his appearances with Sturm than Okonkwo did. Although Okonkwo obviously was a penalty shootout hero and won the cup. Still, Schlager takes the nod definitely for our best keeper of 2023. And with that, we will move on. Next up, Lee, the best defenders of 2023 in Austria. A couple who didn't make the list, and probably one that I regret actually, who didn't make the list, is Amar Dedic. I can tell you why Dedic of Salzburg didn't make the list. It's because I almost was thinking about, well, you've got midfielders to come, you've got strikers to come. Dedic is a very attacking defender, and a lot of the good stuff that he brings to Salzburg is involving attacking down the wings. And obviously, he's still a defender. But in my head, you know, as I sort of sleepily put the lists together from in bed, it was like, I was thinking of defenders who've done a lot of defending, if you know what I mean. So he didn't make the list. Gezos of Klagenfurt didn't quite make the list. The list was Handel, Pavlovic, Wüttrich, and Querfeld. Tell me your thoughts on any or all of those.
I'll start with Strahinja Pavlovic. I think that he's obviously a defender for the best team in the league and perhaps isn't tested as much as you might be if you're a defender for another team. But I have thought ever since I saw him at the 2022 World Cup a year ago, he has got a lot of talent, but he's got mistakes in him. I don't actually have total confidence in him as a centre-back, so I'm perhaps not surprised that he didn't win this poll. Leo Querfeld, obviously a really good young centre-back, probably the standout centre-back in Austria at the moment. But then Wüttrich as well. You know, he's been pretty much the guy that has marshalled that Sturm defence over the past year, and they've been pretty solid defensively as well. So it's really hard to pick these. It is like, you could make a case for more than one candidate for sure.
Yeah, I didn't want to double up on Salzburg players, hence why when Pavlovic went in, perhaps Dedic got unfairly booted from the list, because I think Dedic actually, looking back, could well be a worthy winner of this award for 2023. I'd argue again that a lot of the good stuff he's done has been this season, but he was also still good last season. Wüttrich, I thought, was very solid all year long. Handel was in there. He was the lowest with 17%, Johannes Handel, but he's just been a kind of a rock in a difficult place with Austria Vienna, who've obviously had a tough 2023, and Handel's been pretty reliable. I like what you said about Pavlovic. He got 21%, Wüttrich got 25%, and perhaps Querfeld was the most clear recipient of the kind of Rapid bias online. And that's nothing against Rapid. That's just, I mean, in a public poll, there's more Rapid fans than anybody else. And Querfeld maybe got a little bit of a boost, shall we say, from that. I think it's been a good year for Querfeld. He's developing really, really nicely. Very good young centre-back. And to be fair, although he might not be everybody's choice, I don't resent him winning that award at all.
No, I think definitely a worthy winner. He's probably one of the players that I might next expect to leave Austria if a good offer comes in. Because we see that quite often, don't we? Like young players of his ability level heading across the border to Germany when an offer that would really make a financial difference to an Austrian club comes in. What do you think? Could we see him move on soon?
Yeah, it's a long established line in recent years of good young Rapid defenders moving on for a sort of low millions offer to maybe the German second division or maybe somewhere else, you know, maybe Netherlands or who knows. But I definitely think there's a kind of established line going out of Rapid there with good young defenders. And I think you're right, Querfeld could well be the next one. He's chipped in with a few important goals. He's generally looked good. He's still developing. He may not be the finished article just yet, but still, I think a worthy, if controversial, recipient of our Best Defender of 2023 poll. Next up, it's the best midfielders of 2023. Lee, do you want to take us through this one?
Yeah, so I'll read out the four names. We've got Manpreet Zakaria, and we might have some people there saying, is that a midfielder? It goes back to, it's that whole fantasy football thing where you get like a striker who's, you can play him in midfield. I think, yeah, is he a midfielder, Tom? That's probably where we start.
It's really hard to make the case with some of these because most of their performances or most of their appearances are like attacking midfield, where it's sort of, as you say, it's a bit of a blend. So is Sakaria, I guess he definitely is deployed as a centre forward sometimes. But I think by trade, you know, he would be an attacking midfielder. And for me, all of these are as well. Looking at Sturm, Sakaria obviously has made the list, but Horvat didn't make the list. He's also sort of, he's not a forward, but he's borderline. He's very attacking, Horvat. He's got a very good goal on him. Prass as well, a bit more defensive than the other two, but still a very attacking Sturm midfielder. So I think there are a little bit of blurred lines there, but Sakaria, I can't remember. I saw him ranked somewhere as an attacking midfielder, as his main, plying his main trade as an attacking midfielder. So I thought he's allowed in. But yeah, another one. It's difficult. It's difficult.
I'm surprised to see Alexander Prass not on that list, actually, because he's probably the player that we've given quite a few shout outs to him over the course of the season, haven't we? For his excellence. And we saw him sort of linked with a move away from Sturm right at the end of the summer transfer window. Was this simply a case of we don't want to double up on clubs again? Because Sakaria has been outstanding as well.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't want to double up on clubs. You've got Horvat, Prass and Sakaria, any of whom could have been in with a shout. I just figured maybe for the sort of services across the whole of 2023, it would be Sakaria for me. Prass was excellent at the end of 2022 and he's still been very good this year. But I think maybe Sakaria has been the stronger player across the 12-month period that we're looking at. But if so, then he's just shaded it. He's only just shaded it. And Horvat is the strongest one now. So it's a difficult decision to make. And it was the same with other clubs as well, to be fair. If you look at Rapid, we definitely had Marco Gruhl and Matthias Seidel. Again, both players who've got a very attacking-based instinct. But you couldn't fit them both in.
Yeah, no, I'd say Matthias Seidel would have been the standout one for Rapid. So, yeah, I agree with that. Oscar Glock is also on the shortlist of Red Bull Salzburg and Robert Zuhl of LASK. So there are some real standout contenders there and it's really tough to pick amongst them. Obviously, quite a few attacking midfielders, I should say. I would have probably, if I was casting my vote here, which I didn't do because I didn't want to skew the poll in any way whatsoever, but I would probably go for Manpreet Sakaria because for me, he's now linked with that Sturm Cup win. And, you know, it happens so rarely that a team other than Salzburg wins a trophy in Austria. And he was the guy that sort of, you know, I kind of have in my mind as being the one responsible for that cup win in the final against Rapid. And he's just generally a very, very good player. He's come on leaps and bounds since he left Austria Vienna. So he'd be the winner for me.
Okay, yeah, interesting. Gloch has been banging in some great goals recently. He's had a very good time since arriving at Salzburg at the very beginning of 23. So a good year for Gloch. He got 17%. Sakaria, 23% of the votes. Robert Julli got 25% of the votes. I think he's been excellent in terms of also carrying the team. That's definitely why he was in there. I think Jules is technically an excellent player, really, really good player to watch. He's a bit almost like languid at times. Sometimes he doesn't have the biggest presence on the pitch. And then when he gets the ball, you can just tell he's a touch of quality, Jules, in that last team. He fired them through European qualifying at the very beginning of this season. He's been really good across 2023. Of course, Nakamura was excellent for LASK, but left halfway through the year. Other players fell foul of that kind of thing too, of course, moving away in summer. But Jules stayed on and he's only gone from strength to strength, I think, at LASK. So he's had an amazing 2023. Maybe Andy Irving was a little bit unlucky not to make the shortlist. Another sort of key proponent of Klagenfurt doing really well. And he gets, you know, he gets an extra bonus for being from the British Isles. So sorry about that. But he didn't make the list anyway. Seidel, again, the Rapid effect in full flow, maybe. But Gruhl, who got 14 goals and 14 assists across the year, that's a very good record, was pipped by Seidel because of, again, services to 2023. We have to remember, Seidel won the league with Blau-Weiss Linz and picked up second division player of the year in summer, then moved to Rapid. And came in at Rapid and basically looked every bit as strong as he had in the second division, even when he was playing in Europe. So for me, that's very, very impressive.
Yeah, certainly is. Actually, I'm looking through these polls now. The Rapid players have all done fairly well, haven't they? because, yeah, you've got Seidel and Kvaer.
They have.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about strikers in a minute. But, yeah, Matthias Seidel, he's definitely been one of those players that I would say, like, I go to the stadium and when I'm sitting there live, I'm thinking, you know, like, when I first saw him, like, who is that guy? This is the new signing. He's really, really good. So he's one of the standout players for me, I'd say, especially from the first half of this season. I didn't see too much of him when he was in the second tier. But now, yeah, I think he's like a mainstay and one of the key players in Rapid's team.
What does it say about Rapid? I find this quite interesting. You know, they're winning most of these awards, obviously public vote based. We know there's a bit of sway in there because they've got a massive fan base. That's all well and good. It's all a bit of fun anyway. It just gives us an excuse to talk about all of these players. But I do find it interesting that, yes, Kvaerfeld is probably the most controversial of all of them. But Seidel, I don't think you can really... I don't think you can hold that against Rapid or their number of fans to say that Seidel is the midfielder of 2023 in Austria. And it maybe is interesting then that Rapid have done so well in these polls and the players are genuinely doing really, really well. But the squads, the team has not been doing very well. I don't think it paints Rapid in a particularly good light, really, does it? Because they've had several outstanding performers, several very, very good players in key positions, yet they haven't turned that into results in any way across 2023. They finished the end of last season very badly and they haven't started brilliantly this season either. So it's sort of a weird place they find themselves.
Yeah, I think that's sort of been one of the key issues, hasn't it? Like getting the most out of a talented group of players, because I don't know, if you look through their team, there's obviously a lot of talent there. And if you compare that team to the opponents that they play against, you know, man for man, they're often stronger, but especially turning it into goals, I feel like the first half of this season, 23 to 24, we've seen a lot of matches where they've either won 5-0 or just not scored. And there's not really like a medium ground often, a middle ground. So, I just don't think they're making the most of the qualities they have. And so that's probably why we don't really see them higher up the table despite the squad they've got and some of these talented players.
Yep, I think that is a fair assessment of what has been a bit of a difficult 2023 for Rapid, but they're finishing off at least with the positives of scooping some of these awards and the best midfielder of 2023, as voted by the people of Twitter, goes to Matthias Seidel. I thought we'd shoot down some of these suggestions when we went back through them and say, no, the votes are wrong. But the more we do this, the more I'm like, no, we can make a good case for all of these. And I think Seidel is also a very worthy winner.
Yeah, I think so too. I'd say worthier than Kvaerfeld as a Rapid winner. I think he deserves it more. I've been really impressed by him. So yeah, no complaints there.
We'll move on to the best forwards now and see if there's another Rapid winner in store. So the best forwards of 2023. Lee, do you want to take us through this one as well?
Sure. So the shortlist is Guido Burgstaller of Rapid, Andreas Gruber of Austria Vienna, Sinan Karvajna of Austria Klagenfurt, and Ronny Valdo of Blau-Weiß Linz.
Yes. Didn't quite make the list. Entrup of Hartberg, Konate of Salzburg, Tabakovic, formerly of Austria Vienna, and a shout from me as well, Eileen Campbell, the women's footballer who was playing for Altach and has just secured a move to the German Bundesliga as well. And she's come in to the Austrian national team and been absolutely incredible, scored some wonder goals as well. So Eileen Campbell has had an amazing 2023 and was on the long list, but not the short list. Any of the other shortlisters there, Lee, Tabakovic, Konate, Entrup, do you feel that they've missed out harshly? Have I picked the top four wrongly?
I don't think so, because Tabakovic was only there until the summer. I don't think you can have somebody for the whole year that was only there for half a season. Entrup has been amazing for Hartberg this season. I have to say, I didn't really know anything about him before this season. So again, that's half a season. Who else was there that's missed out?
Konate. No Salzburg forwards quite impressed enough for me this year.
Yeah, I would go along with your shortlist here. I think I wouldn't necessarily choose the player that has won, although I think he's a very good player. I might have picked, I think, and this is just personal preference, but Ronny Valdo. I just really like him. This is, you know, like he's just been a really good second division player for a long time. We saw him get to the cup final with Lustenau a few seasons ago. And now he's doing it in the top tier as well. And he's, you know, he's having a really big impact for Blau-Weiss Linz. And I suppose what I'm a bit sad about is that injury he picked up in the derby against LASK. And I'm wondering when they'll have him back. Probably that happening just before the winter break. The long Austrian winter break was about as good a time as any. But I was sad about that because he's such a key player for them.
I think he's sort of a cult choice, really, isn't he, for a lot of people. The voting, he got 17%, which is third of the four. But again, an amazing season in the second division, crucial in Blau-Weiss winning the league and getting promoted, and then continuing to do well at Bundesliga level. It didn't take him that long to find his feet. He scored some crucial goals, some really nice breakaways, continues to just do the business now at Bundesliga level. So Ronny Valdo has been a great story in 2023. The only player that he beat on the list was Sinan Carvajna, who that's perhaps to be expected. Carvajna, I think, is worthy of a place on the shortlist, but I didn't really think that he was going to win.
I mean, he's had a great season for Austria Klagenfurt. There's a lot of players, I think, that are playing above their level. Or maybe that's a harsh way of phrasing it, but I certainly think that Peter Paco is getting the best out of some of those players. And I've been really impressed by his finishing with both feet. I think he's been a really, really prolific striker. Next up, Andreas Gruber. And I think I've been surprised because I never really think I saw him as a striker. I think in his last days, I more saw him as a sort of wider player. But he's been banging in the goals. I mean, I say banging in the goals. Austria Vienna haven't scored loads, but his tally accounts for a huge proportion of their goals, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think just by dint of that fact, he's well worthy of his place. He was second with 22%, well behind the eventual winner. But yeah, I mean, his percentage of team goals must be the highest of anyone, surely, in the Bundesliga. He scored like a huge proportion of Austria Vienna's goals. I don't know exactly what it is, but he's up there at the top of the list this season. Carvajna's up there near the top end as well. But Gruber, to be there in a team that basically have really struggled to score goals all season, that's very, very impressive for me. And I think it's been a very good start to this season for Gruber. And, you know, he was good before that as well. So it's not like a shock he's not come out of nowhere. The winner, however, it was probably somebody who was fairly predictable, given that he mixes a bit of cult status, a lot of goals, a lot of carrying the team. There was a lot of factors mixed in there that made me think he's going to scoop this award.
Yeah. No, I suppose it's not a big surprise. I think there was a period of the season where he was struggling a little bit with chance conversion, wasn't he? But that's sort of picked up a bit now, so I can understand.
We haven't said who he is yet, amongst it, other than it being very obvious.
Yeah, well, I think we did read the shortlist out, so people that can remember us reading the shortlist out will know the name that we haven't discussed in detail. It is, of course, Guido Burgstaller of Rapid. And yeah, so that's what I was referring to or alluding to earlier when I said Rapid dominated, because we've got a Rapid defender as a winner, a Rapid midfielder and a Rapid forward.
Yeah, and I think that's what made me quite reflective. I thought, yeah, we'd probably discuss these and change our opinions or whatever. But it's funny enough, like you can make a good case for Rapid winning all of those three legitimately. It's not just Rapid bias. It's like these players, you know, Burgstaller's had an amazing 2023. He's carried Rapid. He's been their leading goal scorer. Last season, this season again, not quite on the same form as he found at some points last season, but still a very, very reliable goal scorer in this Rapid team. Also, absence of other players. You know, as we said, like Salzburg haven't had, like they have in the past, maybe having two players who could deservedly be on this list. That would be normal for Red Bull Salzburg to have maybe the top scorer in the league and then somebody else who's doing really well, getting loads of goals and looks like a really good young player. They haven't quite had that at the moment. They've been sort of sharing their goals around a bit more. So in the absence of that kind of competition, I think Burgstaller does stand out as really a top striker this season. Plus the amazing cameo when he came on for Austria and played, what was it, 8 minutes or something and got two yellow cards and got sent off just before Austria qualified for the Euros. And then Rapid made all the t-shirts, like taking the piss of him, coming back to the national team years later and then lasting a few minutes against Azerbaijan away. But then obviously getting involved in the party as Austria qualified, it just cements a cult year for the Guido Burgstaller fans. And there are many of them, as he scooped 46% of the votes, well clear, more than double the votes of Gruber in second.
Yeah, interesting, with five league goals, he's done that as well in 12 games. You know, you look at that scoring list in years gone by, and this is usually a Salzburg player that it's been, but you get somebody that's sort of got 14 or 15 by this point of the season, and they'll get close to the 30 goal mark. At the moment, the top scorers are four. It's a four-way battle, all on 8 goals. Maximilian Entrup of Hartberg, Andreas Gruber, Austria Vienna, Sinan Karveiner, Austria Klagenfurt, Karim Konate, Red Bull Salzburg. And is that not a bit surprising that the most goals in the league that anyone's got by the new year is eight?
Yeah, very much so. As you say, a great four-way battle, but eight, it's not a classic year for strikers necessarily in the Austrian Bundesliga this season. I think we will have a fairly low winner. You know, at this rate, it's going to take, you know, even in the mid-teens, you might be winning it. So that's where, you know, somebody like Karveiner, who's got a good bunch of scorer points in total, sort of together, that really helps as well. He's been very, very good. I think Entrup, who you mentioned there, is probably the unluckiest player not to make the list. But Burgstaller was brilliant last season, and he's continued that. He hasn't been quite as magical this season, but he did score that wonder goal as well against Altach. And basically, he's been the talisman for a team who badly needed a talisman. So I'm not surprised that he's won it. And again, I can't say, no, this is definitely a bad decision. I think, yes, there's Rapid sway, but I'm behind it. I think Burgstaller is a worthy winner for the 2023 best forward.
Fair enough. I wouldn't have picked him, but I take your opinion on board, Tom, and it is the opinion of clearly many Rapid fans as well.
Oh, so you've gone for Ronny Valdo. I mean, I think Ronny Valdo would have been a great winner as well, but the people have spoken. It's gone to Burgstaller, and we'll move on to the best coach. The best coach of 2023 in Austria didn't make the list. Gerald Scheiblinger of Blau-Weiß Linz. He was unfortunate. In his stead, I actually included Ralf Rangnick, and I wouldn't normally have included the national team coach, but I didn't include players from abroad in the national team. But given that Ralf Rangnick is the national team coach, a lot of what he's done has been based in Austria, in this nation, this year. So I figured he was a fair addition to the shortlist, which was Pakelt, Schopp, Ilze and Rangnick, and we had Rangnick wiping the floor with everybody else, which perhaps isn't to be, isn't too much of a shock given that loyalty to teams can be put behind for a national team coach. However, still, with 59% of the vote and the biggest vote of everybody, he was a very clear winner.
Yeah, he certainly was. I think you're right there when you say that, you know, everybody can sort of get behind him because all Austrian voters, as you say, they don't have a club loyalty if they're voting for Ralf Rangnick. And if you look at, you know, the results, European qualification shored up relatively easily. I think we looked at that group, didn't we? And we thought Sweden might be the ones that Austria were competing with second place with. And in the end, they were very comfortable. You look through that qualifying campaign, the only defeat was the 3-2 loss against Belgium at home, very narrow as well. And Austria almost came back in that game. And then, of course, rounding it off with the friendly against Germany and watching the sweeping football that Austria were playing on the pitch. You know, if historically, you know, Germany, a very successful national team, if they had not been wearing their kits and identifiable, you'd have wondered which one was Austria and which one was Germany. I thought Austria absolutely wowed and dazzled them that night. So for me, Ralf Rangnick is definitely a worthy winner.
Yeah, he has had an amazing effect. And I think this has united the votes behind him as well. You know, it's not just about results. It's like he's breathed new life into the Austrian national team. We're all looking forward to the Euros, which he's led the team in qualification for, of course. But we're all looking forward to the Euros, knowing that Austria might actually go out and play some exciting football. And it's just such a big change. I know we've talked about it before, but it's such a big change to how things were previously in the Austria camp. So I think for that alone, Ralf Rangnick has scooped the award quite comfortably. Those who didn't win it, however, have given great services to the Bundesliga this season. Pakelt, who has led a very consistent Austria Klagenfurt team. They're not week in, week out kind of consistent, but across the seasons, they've done incredibly well to be pushing the top six for a long, long time now. So Peter Pakelt has done a great job. As you mentioned earlier, also very much known that he's getting the best out of his players or really working well to get a lot out of his players. He got 9%. Markus Schopp, who's reignited things at Hartberg, who have been arguably the surprise of this new season, Shop led a big turnaround at the end of last season, took the team comfortably away from relegation, and now has got them slingshotting through this season, way up the table. An amazing job by Shop at Hardberg. Great signings as well, very astute signings that he's brought in without spending much money. And then Christian Iltzer with 17% took second place behind Rangnick. Iltzer, of course, the manager who's had Sturm giving Salzburg their best competition in years and lifting the cup as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really good selection of club coaches, isn't it? It's really hard. If I'm not picking Rangnick here, it's a really hard choice because the other three on the shortlist, I really admire them. They're all doing such good work. If I had to pick out one name, I think it would be Marcus Schopp, you know, because he's come back to Hartberg, and this is a club, we forget it because they do so well, but they are operating on a shoestring budget. And when we saw them away to VRC back in, was it early September? You know, they're just so good at the moment, Hartberg. Entrup is having a great season, as we mentioned, but Marcus Schopp is just doing a fantastic job. So he'd be my club coach of 2023.
Yeah, I think very narrowly in a great list of three there with Pakult, Schopp and Iltzer, I would also have picked Marcus Schopp. Props to him. Just astute signings, like I said, in various different positions. And they've lost René Sveter, their previous number one goalkeeper, and Salinger's come in and done really well. He's just made good additions to the defence. Pfeiffer looking really good. Good additions to midfield. Providence looking good up front. Entrup looking good up front. They've done a great job, and Schopp has been primarily responsible for that, basically. So he gets a nod for me. Rangnick was always going to win the award. Rangnick is who takes the best coach of 2023 in Austria, but Marcus Schopp gets a special mention there too. So that concludes the Twitter polls that we've looked through. I just want to round off, Lee, with perhaps your best moment of the year, your best goal, your overall best moment, best player, best game, anything like that that comes out before we wrap up for 2023.
Ooh, a couple of shouts. Best game. I think the best moment will have been the Austrian Cup final. And Simon and I were very sad that you weren't there with us because you were in the US at the time, weren't you? But to see any team other than Salzburg win a trophy with Sturm winning the cup was very, very welcome. I think Rapid would have been worthy winners as well, and I kind of wanted it for their fan base, but Sturm were great. And with all the pyro that day and the atmosphere, two amazing sets of fans, and it being relatively close for a lot of the game, that would be my standout game for sure.
Very nice. For me, the standout sort of thing of 2023... And this will be weird because he didn't make the best forwards shortlist, but the standout 2023 moment for me is basically the career trajectory of Maximilian Entrup, because that is just an amazing story. He was scoring really well at Marshfield. I think he got close to a goal a game at Marshfield, but then to come in relatively old, you know, he's in his mid-20s, he's not a newcomer. Getting the chance then, you know, after probably many people around him would have said, yeah, okay, so your career is going to be like a good amateur career, fair enough, like whatever, just enjoy your time. But then for him to make the leap up to Bundesliga at that stage in his career, and then to be like the top scorer in the Bundesliga with Lowly Hartberg, who are doing an amazing job this season, as we've already said. And then to get called up for the national team. You know, so he started the year playing for Marchfeld and he finished the year coming on for Austria against Germany at the sold-out Ernst Happel Stadion. That is just an unbelievable fairy tale story. And for me, that sort of goes down as one of the standout moments of 2023 total.
You know what the listeners are screaming now then? Why wasn't he in the shortlist with such an amazing career trajectory?
Exactly. He probably should have been. I think the reason he wasn't in the shortlist is mainly because it's hard to count what he did for Marchfeld as part of his 2023. You know, maybe if that was a second division club, that would have sort of been the value multiplier would have been higher. But it was like a low multiplication factor, low difficulty factor, I suppose, if you're judging it on those terms for Marchfeld. And then obviously did so well with Hartberg since then. So it's a bit of an anomaly that he wasn't in that list, but just for an overall 2023 award, I think Entrup could take that for me. Do you have any shouts of like the best goal of 2023?
Yeah, I think it would be that one that we saw alongside each other at the Linz Derby. the Stefan Feiertag one that was straight into the top corner. And I think that was particularly memorable because A, it was a lovely hit. B, it was from range. C, the occasion, the derby. And D, the fact that we were like right behind the trajectory of the ball. So we had the perfect view of that goal as it flew like an arrow into the top corner.
Yes, I love that. That's a great shout. I agree with all of those things. You need the stature of a big game like that to sort of, that gives that a multiplier as well. You can score great goals. Like Burgstaller scored an amazing goal where he turned and then fired in across the goal to the top corner against Altac. But in the end, that only gave Rapid a win that they would have been expecting to get against Altac. Whereas that, to sort of seal the derby, the first big game against LASK in their new stadium for Blau-Weiss Linz, that was just an incredible moment. So I don't have any problems at all with that. Before we sign off, I'll hand over quickly to Simon and we'll get his thoughts of the year because he wasn't able to join us, unfortunately, for this podcast. Who'd have thought, you know, being busy around Christmas and New Year, shocking. But he's been able to chip in at least anyway with this. So let's hand over to Simon now.
How's it going, guys? So sorry I couldn't be there for the final of the Bundesliga recording of 2023. But I thought I'd phone in with a few of my favourite moments of another incredible year for Austrian football and another incredible year for the podcast. And I don't think that there's a better place to begin a review of the year than looking back to the 2023 OFB Cup final down in Klagenfurt between Sturm Graz and Rapid. In terms of a showcase for what Austrian club football can be, I don't think you'll find a better example than that final. Two fan bases, two incredible fan bases with so much history in a cup final, in a showpiece occasion. It was truly one of the most amazing atmospheres I can remember in Austrian football, and I'm so grateful to have been there. Obviously, Sturm Graz came out winners, meaning Rapid's trophy drought continues, but I think plenty of our listener base are Rapid fans and are hoping for that to change in 2024. Looking to the international scene, obviously it was a great year for Ralf Rangnick and the Austrian national team. I think that win against Germany just back in November was the finest Austrian national team performance that I can remember seeing since I moved to the country. A 2-0 win against the old enemy, Germany. Completely, you know, it was a brilliant performance and an amazing atmosphere. Yes, it was only a friendly, but I think if they can continue that momentum into 2024, then we have a lot to be excited about heading into the Euros next summer. Of course, let's hope David Alaba can get back in time from his injury, but not looking likely, but still, it's an amazing young team, and I think that we have plenty to be excited about going into next year. Another team to be excited about is the Austria women's national team, who had an incredible moment, breaking their all-time record attendance at the Generali Arena against France, and that was also an amazing occasion to be at, to see women's football in Austria reach a moment where, you know, it's selling over 10,000 tickets. Truly an incredible sight, an incredible evening at the Generali, and it was a hope that the onwards momentum of both the men's and women's national team continues into next year. In terms of some fun fan base related stuff, I couldn't not mention my trip to St. Pölten with the First Vienna fans, where I saw First Vienna win in the last minute, an amazing last minute free kick. And then we are invited home on the fans coach. And I just think that sort of friendliness and warmness, let's say, from the First Vienna fans just shows how welcoming Austrian fans are to foreigners. And it was just a wonderful evening at a great time. And I'm looking forward to seeing First Vienna again next season. Also, from the Bundesliga, I saw Hartberg 2, VVSC 1. Hartberg also scored a goal in the last minute. And again, being in like the countryside of Austria and having people come over to you, like questioning why you're here and always being immensely friendly. So shout out to those Hartberg fans we spoke to on that afternoon. Just another example of Austrian fans being so welcoming, and I'd heavily incentivize any person traveling to Austria to come watch a Bundesliga game because you're going to meet some amazing people. The craziest game has to be Austria Vienna 3, Legia Warsaw 5 in the Europa Conference League qualifier. One of the most topsy-turvy games I think I've ever seen. And, of course, my worst game, SV Horn 0, Kapfenberg 0, on my solo trip up to Horn. Less said about that game, the better. But hopefully we'll have more five threes, then nil nils next season. But all in all, an amazing year. Thank you, Tom and Lee, for being such amazing co-hosts and partners in this project. And let's hope for some amazing memories heading into 2024. And Happy New Year to all of our listeners.
Thanks very much, Simon. Great to get your thoughts as we look back on 2023. Very last thing before we wrap up, Lee. Is there anything you want to see again in 2024? Anything you want to see improved in 2024? What's your perspective looking forward into the next year of Austrian football?
I'm really intrigued to see if Sturm can match Salzburg deep into the championship round. Obviously, they got the cup last season. I'd be interested to see how close the title race is this season. I'd really love Austria Lustenau to get a win. That I think they just need a win, don't they? So for their sanity, I would say Austria Lustenau getting a win. And beyond that, we don't really have all that much to look forward to in European football, do we? So most of the things I'd like to see would be domestic.
Yeah, I think there's some good shouts there. My thoughts, I'm glad you mentioned the European thing, because 2023 was a pretty barren year in Europe. It started off obviously at the end of 22 with Sturm getting knocked out despite having the same points as the group winner, and that was sort of a little sign of what was to come for 2023. So it wasn't a good year in Europe at all. Teams going out early at the beginning of 2023, and then in the summer teams dropping out early as well, and then Rapid getting the draw against Fiorentina and even beating them, but then not being able to get through. Austria Vienna letting go a very useful position in their qualifier. So yeah, it was a pretty rubbish year. And then in the group stages as well, we were hoping for better than we got. Only one team really sort of sneaking through in a way that's positive. So yeah, not a lot to look forward to in the spring, but that would be my hope for improvement for 2024. It would be a much better year in the European qualifiers come the very beginning of next season and the end of the summer. That's my thing that I'm keeping my fingers crossed for 2024. Also, of course, for Euro 2024. Definitely hoping Austria can cause a bit of a sensation at Euro 2024, but we've got a long way until we have to start thinking about that. For now, though, I think all I can do is to say Happy New Year to all of our listeners. Thank you very much for joining me today, Lee.
Yeah, thanks very much for the pod. It was nice to talk Austrian football, and yeah, Happy New Year to everyone.
Yeah, we'll leave it there for 2023, and we wish you all a very good 2024.